What a time it is to be in church. I'm just going to pray to open. I'm going to pray to open. So everyone just raise their hands. God, we just thank you for this time. We can just come. We can learn. We can grow. We can encounter, Father. We're just praying for breakthroughs, Father. We're praying that chains be broken, that we'll encounter you in ways that would have authority over situations in our life, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You guys can take your seat. Awesome. Hey, so what I thought I might do, just to start off before I get into my messages, take a quick opportunity to just honor some people, if that's all right. First off, I'd just like to honor Pastor Alan and Ella and Tamati and Tessa at the back there, or Tamati. You guys are amazing pastors. Tauranga is better with you, and we're lucky to have you. But I also wanted to, congratulate Nathaniel. Awesome, buddy. Where are you? Is he in here? Stand up, Nate. Stand up. Yeah. I just really want to honor you, bro. You and Kat, man, like, just your growth over the last 2 years, man, it's been incredible. You know, I sometimes have to pinch myself when I see you up here shredding the guitar, you know, and you're just so outrageously faith-led, bro, and so driven, and I just can't wait to see what you and Kat do in your journey together, and yeah, really praying for you guys. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick. As Alan said, I went to this church for a while, and I loved it, awesome, but I felt a calling to go to C3 Arataki, to go over there and raise up the youth of this nation. I felt that leading under Tess and Tama has just been something amazing. It's been something I've never thought I'd learn, just in ways to communicate to people, to love on people, to really just nurture them. So I just thank you, Tamati and Tess. But for tonight, my topic that I'm going to speak on is a breakthrough. Come on, who needs a breakthrough? Who knows someone or you're in need of a breakthrough? Raise your hand. I think we're all sometimes in need of a bit of a breakthrough. So the title of my message is, Your Breakthrough is Coming. I feel that as a church, as a nation, worldwide, we are needing breakthroughs. Breakthroughs that we would trust and lean on God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. When I hear that verse, I sometimes think of a trust fall, right? Can I have Sean and Isla to the front? I love a good trust fall. No, I reckon do you reckon up here? All right, come up here. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a trust fall. Isla's going to catch Sean. Sean's going to catch Isla. And I'm praying and hoping this goes well. All right, cheer on. Count it down. 3, 2, 1. Woohoo! Give them a round of applause. Well done, you two. Well done. I'm kind of stoked that worked out. but when you trust for, you can't really do it half-heartedly. You got to do it full force, fully rely on God. What else that is amazing about that verse is that it's a promise from God. From him to us, and he doesn't break his promises. So I thought I'd share that verse at the start of my message because I feel like it's something we need reminding of. But tonight, we're going to be looking at a few stories in the Bible where, you know, people are in need of breakthroughs and where some people have got them and some haven't. And we're going to look at why. So my first point tonight, if you're taking notes, is stop, listen, and follow. So I was kind of trying to go for the stop, drop, and roll, you know, that kind of, hey, you know, trying to, in the fire, trying to get out of a burning building type of thing. That's what I was going for. But tonight, we are mostly looking at 1 Kings 19, where it tells a story of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet, and his name means Yahweh is my God, Jesus is my God. And here, Elijah is in need of a breakthrough. He is on the run. Turn to the person next to you and say, why are you running? Mike is like to Andy Upton, bro, you need to do more running. Hey. Nah, sorry, Andy. But who has ever had to run from something dangerous? Yeah, there's a few hands up in here. Okay, crazy. I feel like in my line of work as a police officer, I'm often doing a lot of the chasing. Quick story. It was late night, by myself in the car, kind of, you know, fresh off the block, kind of just learning things. The sun's gone down, so it's night time. I'm on a main road, I come across this car, zoom past me, right? No lights, looks a bit broken, and it's hissing. And I'm like, I don't have to stop that, do I? So I thought, you know, I better investigate, turn around, go to pull it over, and it doesn't stop. I'm like, oh. It doesn't stop. But soon enough, it's gone down some corners, down some side streets, and the person's dumped the car and run. And at this point, I get out of my car because, hey, he ain't getting away. Hey, he ain't getting away. So I'm running. I'm like yelling out, stop, stop running, because I'm running out of steam here. I may look fit, but hey, it's all for show. But he ended up stopping because he ran out of steam as well. And I said, hey, man, like, why are you running? Like, why are you running for? And he goes to me, oh, I'm not supposed to be driving. I'm like, okay, well, we can sort that out. But he also said that he's had a bit of an argument with his daughter. And he was out trying to find her. So my heart felt for him. So I was like, all right, well, I'll help you find her. And so, you know, moments later, not too long actually, maybe 30 minutes later, he gets a text from her saying, I'm all good. I'm staying at a friend's place just to, hey, cool off. But I still felt as though I should pray for him. I said to him, hey, what can I pray for you for? And he says, well, clearly my car needs a bit of a makeover. He'd been staying in accommodation, so, you know, I pray that he'd get a new accommodation and that he'd get a job. So I prayed this over him, all good, amen. But weeks pass, and I get called to another job, and it's him and his daughter again. And I'm like, oh man, this is hard. Like, we'll sort that out. We've sorted it in terms of, you know, making sure they're safe. But he said to me, man, your prayer worked. He'd found an accommodation, because this is a new house. Found an accommodation, found a job, and his car was fixed. Amen, right? Best job in the world, you know, you've got to celebrate the wins. But okay, back to the story of Elijah. It goes like this. Elijah, he was on the run, being hunted by a woman named Jezebel, who had married the new king of Israel. His name was Ahab. Ahab did not believe in the Lord, but believed in Baalism. He believed Elijah to be a troublemaker of Israel. He was referred to as the troublemaker of Israel. Literally, the title was the troublemaker of Israel in scripture. He was referred to as that. How crazy is that? But Jezebel, she was crazy. She was straight loco. She was killing Christians and killing prophets by the sword. So what did Elijah do? He stopped them. He said, in 1 Kings 19, 1-2, it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, that he had killed the prophets by the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, and he said, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I'm not of one of them. And in verse 3, it goes on to say, Elijah was afraid. And in verse 4, Elijah goes as far to say, I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. It's safe to say Elijah was in need of a pretty big breakthrough. Skip a couple verses, and Elijah's gone into a cave. And if you look at it, he's gone into hiding. He is literally hiding in a cave, right? And a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And in verse 15 it says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. So in this, Elijah went on to do as the Lord instructed and was saved. And as you can read later on in 2 Kings 2, about Elijah, he ascended to heaven, which is, that's amazing, right? Amen. But what I want to look at right now is, what did Elijah do? He stopped, he listened, and he followed. He stopped running, he listened to God and followed him. And in that, he found breakthrough. He was delivered from the fear he had. He was delivered from the enemy forces. And we need to do the same when we're faced with challenges. In times when we're in need of a breakthrough. I feel that often, you know, we're leading lives not necessarily of God, and we don't know how to stop living that way. Whether that be because of the way it's always been because we see no end to it, the addictions or bad influences in our life. I feel that so often we find it hard to listen in the noisiness and the busyness of life. When God came to Elijah, he came to him in a whisper. A whisper amidst the wind, the earthquake and fire. Elijah followed God's instruction and he found breakthrough. When we say yes to something, it makes it so much easier to say no to everything else. But what else can we do to receive a breakthrough? This leads me to my second point. It's pray. Everybody say pray. How easy is it to stress when you're wanting a breakthrough? It's almost like when it rains, it pours. It's almost like, you know, when one thing's going wrong, everything's going wrong. Anyone else like that tonight? When you feel like one thing's going wrong, everything's going wrong. For Elijah, not only was he being hunted, but on top of that, wind that tore through mountains, an earthquake and a fire came. I don't know about you, but I'd be scared. We need to pray. Sometimes I look at it like we have angels, right? Angels that answer our prayers. And sometimes it's like me, I feel like the angels are like, Nick goes on holidays at some points of the year, what Alan was saying. You know, we go on holiday and our prayers stop. But we're meant to keep them busy. We're meant to, you know, they need to answer our prayers. They need to, you know, there's so much power in prayer. Like the story I told about the fleeing driver. There was power in that prayer. It's in those times we need to ask ourselves, what's our focus? Elijah's first focus was that the situation was bigger than what he alone could handle. So what did he do? He went into the cave and hid. But guess what? We're not called to do life alone. We're not supposed to do life in fear. We're meant to live in our calling. Even in our hardships, even in our time waiting for a breakthrough, what I felt to say tonight is that God can still use you. He has a calling on your life. God uses everyone. In the Bible, Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. David was a murderer. And Jonah ran from God. We just have to let him in. We have to allow him to use us. At Increase Conference, Pastor Luca Robertson spoke at a leadership seminar and said something that really resonated with me. He said, we have to die to ourselves to get out of the way and let Jesus move. God can do more in our submission than we can do in our control. God is not restricted to a timeline, to our timeline. And now I want to look at the story of the betrayal of Judas upon Jesus, a famous story. And it leads me to my third point is hold on. Hold on to God. It's a perspective where breakthrough was not found. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples. His name means praise or let God be praised. He was close with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. He was referred to him as a brother. He'd be around him all the time. But Judas, in this story, went to the chief priest of the land and in Matthew 26:15 asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? Him being Jesus. So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Judas had arranged a signal with the chief priests and elders that he would greet and kiss Jesus when they were to come forward and arrest him. And sure enough, Judas greeted Jesus with a kiss, and the men stepped forward, seized, and arrested him. Their plan was to put him to death. In Matthew 27, verse 3-5, it says, when Judas, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned, he said, for I betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hung himself. Hold on. See, my belief is this. earlier today when I was going over this message is that, you know, you look at the story of Elijah and you look at the story of Judas, and it could have been so similar. You know, Elijah said, literally said, "Lord, I have had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." We need to hold on. My belief again is that if he'd held on 3 days, he would have found that breakthrough. He would have found Jesus. Jesus would have rose again, met with Judas, forgiven Judas. If God's going to bring you to it, he's going to bring you through it. I feel like too often in my line of work, you come across people, even in your day-to-day, anyone, you come across so many broken people going through mental health, going through addictions, through things that they feel you alone can't handle. We need to stop, listen, and follow. We need to pray. And we need to hold on. The title of my message was, "Your breakthrough is coming." But your breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough is now. What we do in the natural affects what we do in the supernatural, but it requires action. It requires faith. So tonight, I really want to give each and every person the opportunity to just respond. I want to create a time of ministry where we can all, no matter how big, no matter how small the breakthrough is, it could be financial, it could be mental health, it could be addictions, it could be a job. This year's been crazy. But it could be, I felt as Alan had mentioned in the prayer request, it could be a physical healing. And I just feel as though tonight in this room there are people who are needing a physical healing, but you just need to ask. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So tonight, can everyone stand? I also want to say a prayer. I want to say a prayer for people that are wanting this breakthrough, that are wanting this Jesus I've been speaking about tonight. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to say a prayer around breakthrough, around this idea of Jesus. Hold on. Your breakthrough is here. So tonight, I want to know who I'm praying for. So if this message tonight on breakthrough, this encouragement that you're not going through it alone, that we're not called to do things alone, I want to pray for you. So if that's you tonight, with every eye bowed, I want to count to three. If that's you tonight, I want to know about it. I want to know. I want to pray for you. So as I count, it's all private. It's all okay here. It's a safe place. But if that's you tonight, I want to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Yeah, wow. Hands going up all over the place. That's awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. Maybe tonight as well, you're wanting a breakthrough, but you know someone in your life that needs a breakthrough, and you just don't know how you can handle it. You just don't know. But tonight, we're going to pray for that breakthrough. So for every hand that's raised, I want to say a prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are so good, God, that as we present our requests to you, Father, as we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us, Father. We pray in authority, we pray a healing, Lord Jesus, as each of these hands are raised tonight. Lord God, we thank you.